Good evening to tonight's Medication Insider podcast, and we'll be talking tonight about artificial or low-calorie sweeteners. One of my subscribers asked, well, I'm a type 2 diabetic. What's the potential impact of using sweeteners in my beverages instead of sugar? Will that help me control my diabetes? And that's a great question. The Food and Drug Administration has been approving certain compounds to replace sugar in beverages because it's acknowledged that sugars increase the incidence of tooth decay, which is a problem. Also believed to contribute to obesity, which is an ongoing growing problem in the United States today. Back in 2014, in October's issue of Nature magazine, they gave four different sweeteners to mice. Sugar and three different non-calorie sweeteners, aspartame, saccharin, and sucralose. The mice that were given the non-caloric sweetener showed changes in their intestinal bacteria, their microbiome, whereas sugar had no effect. And those mice handled food differently. They showed a higher blood sugar after eating, and their blood sugars took much longer to drop back to normal limits or normal levels, which suggested a pattern very similar to glucose intolerance. And that is one of the risk factors or one of the things that's associated with an increased risk of becoming a type 2 diabetic. When the researchers introduced the samples of the mice that ate the sugar and sugar substitutes, they put their bacteria back into normal mice. That changed the normal mice's gut biome or bacteria as well. And they became more glucose intolerant. So there's an issue. But in humans, this is not as consistently seen. And so there's a question and a controversy as to whether or not these sweeteners are safe to use long-term. It may be able to explain, however, that when people switch from a sugar sweetener to a non-sugar sweetener, there's not a consistent, predictable benefit as far as BMI or blood sugar. You'd think if you switched from a sugary substance to a non-caloric substance, that you would get the benefit of using a sweetener in your tea, coffee, or cookies, candies, without the downside of sugar. But the evidence is mixed. So there's not a clear benefit to using a non-caloric or a non-calorie sweetener. Caloric sweeteners are different than non-caloric sweeteners. So if you're using a caloric sweetener, those tend to be found in foods. And the most commonly used ones are corn syrup, sorghum, cane sugar, high fructose corn syrup, and fruit juice concentrate. Okay, fruit juice concentrate is commonly used in a lot of natural products, but it's sugar. It still is sugar. And oftentimes you'll see these added to baby food formulas, commonly added to salad dressings, to dips, and vegetable juices, often having a sweetener added to them. Another problem with our food supply and sweeteners is when you go with a low-fat food. A low-fat food product will almost always have more sugar added to offset the difference in texture. And so a highly sweetened product will be softer and will have a better taste than normal levels of sweetener. Again, the big hope was using a non-caloric or very low caloric sweetener would improve people's weight and improve their glucose control. But that's not necessarily been shown to be true. There's unfortunately not very many well-designed studies to show. And many of them, even if you do look at the study doesn't specifically mention which low-calorie sweetener they used. And there's quite a few out there now. In one of my blog posts, I ask, what color is your packet? And if you are in a restaurant, which most of us have not been in a restaurant very much in this last year, but on the table, there's a white dish usually with a bunch of packets of sweeteners. The white packet is almost always pure cane sugar. And the brown packet is usually raw cane sugar. But then there's pink ones and yellow ones and blue ones and green ones. So the pink packets are saccharin, also known as sweet and low, one of the oldest low-calorie sweeteners. Yellow packets contain sucralose. The brand name of that is Splenda. Then there are blue packets of aspartame. And aspartame has two different brand names. It's marketed both as NutraSweet and Equal. And then the newer one that you see on most tables today is green, and it's stevia. It's from the stevia plant, the leaves of the plant. And the brand name of that is Truvia. And with all of these, you can also see on the supermarket shelf blends of a sweetener. So stevia might be combined with another, either with sugar or another low-calorie sweetener. Then there's xylitol, which is the dentist's friend, but a pet owner's nightmare. Okay. Xylitol is a alcohol-based sweetener extracted from natural sources. It's extracted from corn, and it's very popular in products like mints that you suck on or gum, sugarless gum. And it actually has a protective effect on your tooth enamel. So again, dentists widely prefer that if you're going to chew gum with xylitol in it instead of a sugary gum, which just bathes your teeth in sugar for minutes to hours at a time. Xylitol is even available, like some of these other products, as a pure white granular substance that you could use for baking. So if you're baking brownies or cookies, instead of using straight sugar, you could use a blend or actually a pure low-calorie sweetener. But xylitol has a significant problem. It causes insulin release in dogs, but without any increase in blood sugar. Now, all of these sweeteners can also cause insulin release in humans, though it's not clearly proven that it's a consistent universal effect. And it's not consistent between one and another. But in many people, at least some people, get increased insulin release from eating or drinking a product that is sweetened with one of these low-calorie sweeteners. The problem is that the insulin gets released, but the calories to absorb the insulin aren't there. And in dogs, this can cause a precipitous drop in blood sugar, and it is fatal. I'm going to repeat that. It causes a precipitous drop in blood sugar due to the insulin release that it causes in dogs. And that causes hypoglycemia so profound that it causes seizures and death. So even small amounts of xylitol in dogs that are sensitive can cause death. There is no safe dose of xylitol for a dog. Okay. Now, we do not have dog pancreases. We have human pancreases, but many of these low-calorie sweeteners also stimulate insulin release. One of the other challenges is that the taste of ingredients in diet soda, which is by far the most common source of exposure to low-calorie sweeteners. In other words, many of us may not eat sugarless candy or may not necessarily chew sugarless gum, but a large portion of people occasionally drink diet pop or diet sodas or diet soft drinks or diet drinks of any kind that are sweetened by one of these artificial or low calorie sweeteners. And these can create an action in the brain so that you associate the sweetness with a chemical reaction in the brain. And that can cause changes in your hunger or your desire to eat certain foods. Again, not clearly identified in everyone and not clearly identified by the particular sweetener, but it shows up in animal studies and in some human studies as well. These low-calorie sweeteners bind to receptors in your mouth and in your gut that are designed to be triggered by sugar. So they are sweet receptors, but some of them are more potent than others. For example, aspartame is 200 times sweeter than 5% sucrose. Saccharin is even more powerful. It's 450 times sweeter. And sucralose is 600 times sweeter than the comparison of 5% sucrose. So that oftentimes, if you aren't careful, you end up with something a lot sweeter than you started out with. They also have different aftertastes, and some of them actually are binding to bitter receptors in the mouth as well. So saccharin in particular, not as palatable, except in very low doses, because it will bind to your bitter receptors and give you that bitter aftertaste. So can an oral sweetener change how you use carbohydrates? And that's also the case, but again, not clearly explained or identified as to which people, what percentage of people it affects, and which sweetener tends to cause that more than others. Hunger. Does a sweetener trigger hunger? And also that there's evidence that shows that this also happens as well. Particularly sucrose, glucose, saccharin, and sucralose. The other sweeteners, such as aspartame and stevia and cyclamate, which is an older product that we don't see very often, have not been associated with increased hunger. However, again, the studies aren't very clear and they're not well designed to be able to tell exactly what's going on. The most important thing is to remember about low-calorie sweeteners is that they are not a good choice as far as lowering weight. And they're not a good choice for lowering insulin resistance. They actually work against you. One of the best ways to approach these is to use as little as possible and as infrequently as possible. The best thing you can do if you are looking to reduce your blood sugar and weight is to gradually reduce the amount of sweetener you use in all of your beverages. And it's a little bit like salt. When you decrease your salt level dramatically, your taste buds, taste receptors in your mouth haven't adjusted. And so it tastes, your food tends to taste like cardboard. But if you lower the sodium content, the salt content more slowly over time, you then, your receptors become more sensitive. And so the same amount of salt after gradual reduction, if you went back to your previous level, it will taste a much saltier than you remember. Same approach works when working with cutting back from the sweetness level of like sweet tea down. One of the biggest challenges is most of these artificial sweeteners are very, very sweet. And although they may look like they're replacing the calories and you're going to have a net deficit of calories and you should lose weight, that doesn't happen. So there's other things going on, and the change in your hunger and your food consumption, which doesn't seem to significantly change. In fact, in some cases it increases, that and the issue of insulin secretion makes it concerning that you're going to, if you keep using sweet tea, sweet coffee, sweet beverages, that you still have insulin resistance, which is one of the biggest underlying issues of type 2 diabetes. So by gradually weaning off these low-calorie sweeteners to water or close to water, we can then improve our insulin sensitivity, which is what a lot of the medications do, is increase insulin sensitivity, and that helps lower blood sugar and decrease the risk of developing diabetes. Another thing to consider is that when you drink something, your body doesn't recognize it easily as filling you up. So your brain's chemical signals of I am full, I don't need any more, doesn't happen when you drink your calories. Okay. Many people have found that the Slim Fast and those kinds of products don't seem to satisfy you. And so you often don't lose weight like you should. Another potential issue is, are these agents, do we know enough about them to say, do they cause cancer or do they cause any other problem? Because our bodies are having to detoxify these chemicals. Sucrose is pretty simple. Our bodies can detoxify that readily. Aspartame, other low-calorie artificial sweeteners are chemicals that our body has to detoxify first. And some of us may find that saccharin irritates our bladder. That's a common thing. One of the things to think about is if you have irritable bladder or overactive bladder and you're drinking diet soda, wean off and see if that helps. That can make a big difference between the acid level of the diet soda, the caffeine in some of the diet sodas, and the low calorie sweeteners in the diet sodas. All of those can act as bladder irritants and can cause problems. And xylitol, if you have a dog, be extra careful with xylitol. Really, really careful. There was an unfortunate story about a German Shepherd who ate half a pan of brownies baked with xylitol and died several hours after. It was very, very sad. And so that's a combination of chocolate, which a dog finds almost totally irresistible, and xylitol, which is also toxic to dogs. So that would be something that you would want to be very, very, very careful about. So these non-caloric or very low caloric sweeteners don't have a significant, they don't boost your blood sugar, but they do stimulate the release of insulin. And that becomes an issue because that's makes you insulin resistant. So you don't want higher amounts of insulin in your body because that's part of the reason you're having trouble. Type 2 diabetics have almost an excess of insulin compared to normal people. And type 1 diabetics are called type 1 diabetics because they don't make enough insulin, or in the case of my brother, they make antibodies to their insulin. So they have to, it's a life and death thing, they have to do insulin. But for type 2 diabetics, you're overcoming insulin resistance. It's not like you're replacing insulin that isn't there. So anything that you can do to reduce insulin resistance is going to improve type 2 diabetes. And unfortunately, sugar substitutes increase insulin resistance. One of the things that helps to wean yourself off of sugary drinks is to consider drinking like a mild iced tea or a spiced tea and make tea out of it. There are several spiced teas that have no sugar added, but they taste sweet. They taste sweet enough that they don't really need a sweetener. Another option is to switch to a straight cream, heavy cream. I use extracts. I use vanilla extract and hazelnut extract in my coffee instead of creamer. So I don't use a sweetened creamer. I just use a flavoring and I use heavy cream for my creaminess on my coffee. I was able to wean off of lattes and flavored lattes by using that strategy. All right. Well, that's most of what I have to say about artificial sweeteners and low calorie sweeteners. If you do choose to use them, the ones with the drops help you adjust your sweetness level a little bit more easily than the powder packets. But whatever you use, if you can slowly decrease the amount of sweetener that you're using, you can usually cut back significantly over time and enjoy your beverages without bitterness or without over sweetening them. This has been the Medication Insider podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. You'll find it on www.medicationinsider.com. Thanks for listening. This is Louise Ackie, Pharmacy.